So open your Bible with me today to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. This has been our foundational text, and I just can't believe that June is about over and we're done with this series as of today. We've been talking all month on how to find and fulfill God's will for your life. You know, God has a call on your life. Can I have a witness in the house? God does. He has a call on your life. You will be held responsible before God. I'll be held responsible if I taught you how to find it or not. And so I want to stand before God and say, I taught them all at Church on the Rock, God. It wasn't me, Lord. I taught them how to find it, follow it, and fulfill it. So that when you stand before God, God's going to say, not half done. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. There's a scripture in the Bible where you want God to say, well done, thou good and not once a month Christian, thou good and faithful servant of the Lord. All right? So we want to make sure that we all know that we have a call from God in our life. Number two, that God called you before you were formed in your mother's womb. The Bible says, your Bible says, in Psalm 139, that chapter, that before you were formed, before you were shaped in your mother's womb, God scheduled every day of your life. God scheduled every day of your life. So all of us have a call from God. A call would be God's will, God's assignment, God's plan, God's purpose. All of us were called before we were ever created. Number three, whatever you've done in your life will not cancel the call on your life. That's good to know today, because I know some of you are sitting out there and you're saying, I've disqualified myself, Pastor. I've lived a rotten life, made dumb decisions, maybe an alcoholic, drug addict, a prostitute, whatever it might be. Maybe you stole, maybe you murdered. Murder, Pastor? Yeah, the Apostle Paul, didn't he murder people? He did, but yet God called the Apostle Paul and he wrote most of the New Testament. All I'm saying is this, is that whatever we've done with our life, God never gives up on us. God never revokes the call. It's irrevocable. So the callings and the giftings of God are permanent. So that call in your life is permanent. You can run from it, but you can never erase it. That should excite you today, because we all make mistakes. We all make bloopers, but God uses broken people to do big things. God uses broken people to do big things. So you are not disqualified no matter what you've done, but it is your job and my job to discover God's call on our life. We don't determine it, we discover it. All right? So we've talked about all month, and guess what? All my teachings, they're free to you through our podcast. You go to our website, get on our podcast, and all the teaching is there free for you, your family, and your friends. So what I want to do today is I want to give you six ways on how to know God's specific will for your life. God's specific will. Now, we know the Word of God is the will of God. Can I have a yes? The Word of God is the will of God. So we start there, right? That's first grade. We start reading the Bible with our pastor, the chronological Bible. I did it this morning. We start reading the Bible every day, and we apply. We apply. And again, I say, we apply what we read. In doing that, you begin to walk in God's will for your life. It's called the known will of God. So the Word of God is the revealed, the known, the first grade will of God. It's the horse before the cart. We got that, Pastor. We've been here with you, Pastor. We're not an average church in America. And we've been here with you, Pastor, and you've told us, but Pastor, you haven't told us how to know specifically the career, how to know the state that I should live in, the church I should go, who should I marry, decisions, investments. Pastor, you haven't shown us that. I'm going to do that today, because you will not find in the Bible who you are to marry. It will not say, marry Ted, marry Mary. Who was going to say that, or buy a green car, or live on this side of town, or go to that specific church, or go to this specific state? You won't find that in the Bible. But yet God has a specific will for you. Amen. The Bible says even where you live and the county you live in and the people there, you've been called there. Did you know that? That's in the book of Acts, in your Bible, chapter 17. It says God actually calls you to a city, a county, a neighborhood, to a specific group of people. Well, how do we know that, Pastor? How do we know the specific call in these areas of our life? The career, the person to marry, the college campus, the university to go to, the church to attend. How do we know the car to buy, the house to buy? How do we know when it's God's will and it doesn't say it clearly in the Bible? I'm going to show you how I've done it. I've walked with God for 50 years. I have a long way to go, but this is how I've led my life in serving God for 50 years, all right? When we came here to start Church on the Rock 35 years ago, we had people in Dallas that wanted us to start a church. We had California, Des Moines, Iowa, and St. Louis, Missouri. So we had four options, and I'm gonna tell you the truth. This was the least one as far as people to finance it. We had wealthy business people in other areas that said, if you come here, we'll pay your first year's salary, we'll rent a strip mall, we'll do this, we'll do that. We had better opportunities in the natural than St. Louis. How did we choose St. Louis? And I'm so glad we did, because that was the perfect will of God for me and my family. So, you know, how do we know that? How do we know it wasn't Dallas? If I had my ways, it would have been California, San Diego. But God, you know, I definitely didn't have to pray too much about Des Moines, Iowa and all the ice up there. Praise the Lord. So how do we know where to go? I'm going to show you today. I'm going to give you six ways on how to know God's specific will for your life. Let's start 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. And here's what the Bible says. I love this verse. Thank God in everything. Please, family, notice it doesn't say for. I don't thank God for cancer. I don't thank God for car wrecks. I don't thank God for incest, abortion, or rape. I don't thank God for human trafficking. I don't thank God for racism, bigotry. I don't thank God for lack, poverty. I do not thank God for car wrecks. I don't thank God for sickness and disease. I don't thank God for hurricanes and tornadoes. You know, I'm getting bids to have a new roof put on my house because we had some hail damage. And the adjuster that came out and said, you know, well, you might probably be covered on your roof because it was an act of God. Y'all know what I'm talking about, an insurance policy. They say, you know, all this bad stuff, it's an act of God. Who put that in there? It is not an act of God. It is not that God doesn't do bad things like that. So we don't thank God for everything, but we develop responsibility. We develop on how we should respond. Responsibility. As Christians, we should respond differently than the world. It's called becoming responsible, but break that to two words. Learning how to respond, gaining the ability. So how should we respond today? Not for it, but in it. Have a praise party. But in it, begin to worship and praise God and become epic in your praise life. Go to a new level in your praise life. Your children need to see you raise your hands at church. They need to see you be radically in love with God at home. Your children need to see you praying at home, reading your Bible at home, having devotions at home. Your children need to have the overflow of your radical relationship you have with God. Can I have a yes in the house? All right? So he says, in everything, no matter what you're going through on this Sunday, be thankful. Be thankful. So we should work on our to-be list. If we want God to use us, we work on our to-be list. Now, we all have a to-do list. On Sunday, I do my to-do list for every Monday, okay? On Friday, I do my to-do list on the weekend for the services. We all need a to-do list, but greater than that, we need a to-be list to become the person God can use. Amen. So he says, be thankful and give thanks for what? What does it say next, church? It's very clear, for this is the... So what is the will of God for you today? Pastor, I really don't know. I need to know the specifics. Well, how you get the specifics is doing what you know to do. So number one would be an attitude of thankfulness, an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of praise, an attitude of thankfulness. Because when you're thanking God for what he's done, you're in the will of God. When you're thanking God for what he's done in your life, you're in the will of God. Okay, Pastor, I get it. But let's don't stop there. It says, for this is the will of God for you, and then Jesus will be the revealer. Everyone say revealer. And the mediator, say mediator, of God's will for your life. Jesus is called two names there, revealer and mediator. So when does he become the revealer? When you and I respond with praise. When you and I don't know what to do, so we begin to have a praise party and have a radical time of praise with him, he then begins to reveal the next specific step for your life. He reveals it after you praise him. As you begin to praise him, you set into motion revelation, what it is specifically, who to marry, where to work, where to go to school, where to go to church, where to live. He begins to reveal the unknown will of God because you're doing the known will of God, and that is to praise him. Not be cynical, not complain, not make excuses, not have excusitis, right, church? But you begin to praise him. You're in the will of God. Then you set into motion for God to reveal to you the next step. Isn't that good news? Man, you should get excited about that. And then the next thing is, he's the mediator. What does that mean? What does a mediator do? They bring two parties together. A mediator brings two parties together. Well, what does that mean? You need the right people in your life to fulfill God's destiny for your life. You need the right person to marry. You need the right boss to work for. We need the right people on our dream team. We need the right door greeters. We need the right children's workers that will work one, worship one. They have a lifelong learning attitude, that are working on their attitude constantly, that see what you do here at Church on the Rock as a calling and not a job. We need the right people on our team. We need the right people that we marry. We need the right people to be around our children away from us on a university campus. What does God do? God says if we will have an attitude of thankfulness and gratefulness and get radical in our praise life, he said then he'll begin to reveal the specifics to you, and then he'll bring the relationships that you need to fulfill God's will in your life. Is that okay with everybody? All right, let me give you another scripture along with that. I love this, and that's Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7, Living Bible. Let's read it, Living Bible. He said, let your roots grow deep. So what's he talking about? Roots. And our roots determine our fruits. Y'all remember that last weekend? You're having a productive life, a fruitful life. And so notice that your roots determine your fruits. So he says, let your roots grow down deep. So you and I want a deeper walk with God, I think, don't we? We wouldn't be here if we didn't. We want a deeper walk with God. We want a deeper relationship with God. We want to go deep so we can go wide, so we can go high in God. We want to be established and founded. So he says, draw up your nourishment for him. See that you go on growing. So once you've come to him, see that you go on growing. What's our track here called? I think it's called, thank you, growth track. It's to help you grow and act on the word of God. So he says, keep on growing in the Lord. Become strong. Everybody say strong. Become strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all that he's done. The first sign of a deep Christian, the first sign, inkling, indicator, gauge that I'm a mature, solid, founded, firm, established, growing Christian will be an attitude of thankfulness. If I don't have a strong, radical praise life, if I don't have a strong, radical praise and thanksgiving attitude, I'm shallow. I have an entitlement mindset. God, what are you going to do for me? Notice that he's talking about when we came to God, we're taught in God, we grow in God. He said the first thing that you can tell of a growing Christian, a happy Christian, a satisfied, fulfilled Christian, is not that they have a perfect life. It's that they've learned how to praise God and give God thanks for all that he's done in adversity. Come on, give God your Sunday morning praise, would you? Oh, I love that. So notice it says joy and thanksgiving, right, church? Okay, let's read it in the Amplified. Boy, I love the Word of God. And I know you do too, right? The Amplified. Have the roots of being firmly, deeply planted. How do you know if you're a mature Christian? What's the first sign? What's the first sign of being a mature Christian? Thankfulness, gratitude, praise. You know, you look at the goodness of God and you just can't thank him enough. You just can't praise him enough. You just can't worship him enough. All right? He says, being firmly, deeply planted in him, you're fixed, you're founded, you're continually built up in him, you're increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught at the beginning, and you are abounding. Everybody say abounding. Overflowing, say overflowing, abounding and overflowing with thanksgiving. So the first indicator of being a solid, sound, firm, established, growing, deep, rooted, firm, founded, grounded Christian is the attitude of thankfulness. So when you need to know the specific will of God, start praising God. Does that make sense, everybody? Okay, number two is the attitude of joy. Now, these are the six things that I've used to marry Kim, to plant this church, to have children. We said we were going to wait for 5 years. We waited for 5 years. Said we were going to have two. We had two. Very intentional. Said we were going to build a great church, a mega church that was going to rock a city, was going to pioneer and lead. God's done that. And all the things that we set out to do, you know, how do we know to do them? How do we know that we've made bad choices, dumb choices? It's usually when I listen to other people and didn't go by what was on the inside. And you can witness that your own life. Amen. But how do we do that? Secondly, is the attitude of joy. All right. Let's look at it. Psalm 37. Let's look at Psalm 37. And verse 23. I love this. Y'all ready, church? Yeah. The steps of a good person are directed. So God leads us in steps, right? So the steps of a good person are directed, established by the Lord. When? When's God going to show me? When's God going to give me the specifics? When's God's going to reveal the unrevealed? When is the dark going to become light? When is the blurry going to become clear? When am I going to know the specifics? He says, when you rejoice, delight means rejoice, when you delight where you're at. So notice, until I have an attitude of joy where I'm at, I won't be happy where I think I'm going. My dad always used to tell me, you just as well have a party in those pants right where you're at and change your attitude, right? So it's so important that we understand, because so many Christians are depressed, are distraught, and they stay there. We don't have to stay there. So many Christians are negative and unhappy and cynical and gossip and complain and are troublemakers. Now, not in our church. In a church in a galaxy, well, I don't want to say that now. Everybody's down on Star Wars. In another church, amen. Praise God. So when is God going to show you the specific? When you count it all joy, and you develop your response ability, and you respond with joy and get happy right where you're at. So what are you doing? Controlling your emotions instead of allowing your emotions to control you. You're going deep so you can be established and handle it when God takes you where he is taking you. So an attitude of thankfulness, getting epic in your praise life, growing in it every day, letting your family see you do it at home and at church. Number two, an attitude of rejoicing. It says so clearly, God will show me the next step when I learn to rejoice in this step. And then, not only that, but another qualifier is when you busy yourself. Y'all see it on the overheads, family? Busy yourself in this step. What does that mean? Do everything you know to do. Do everything that involves your part. Do everything that you know to do. So notice there's a premise for this promise, for clear direction, for God to show me the next step accurately and clearly. I have to have an attitude of thanksgiving. Number two, I have to have an attitude of rejoicing. And number three, I have to do what I know to do. I know to tithe. I know to serve. I know to praise Him. I know to love people. I know to forgive people. I know to give God my best. I know to plug into a local church. I know to raise my family up in the things of God. Can I have a witness today? I know you're to treat people with respect and dignity. When you do what you know to do, I know where to have the right attitude, the right outlook, the right response. When you work on you, God will work on His will for you. That's worth tweeting. When you allow God to work on you, God will be working on His will for you. So when you don't know the specifics, transition, career change, what should I do? Where should I go? When you don't know what to do, the specifics, here's what I've done. I just start praising the Lord. I just start praising the Lord. I say, God, I know Your word. I stand on Your word. And if I start praising You, then God, You go to work revealing and connecting the people I need to fulfill Your will for my life. And then, God, I know this. I know, God, if I don't rejoice where I'm at today, God's not going to give me a better house, a better job, a better family, a better church, a better health. God's not, You're not going to do it, God, until I learn just to throw a party and rejoice in You. And then, God, I know that You expect me to do what I need to do because, God, You're not going to do for me what I need to do for myself. Boy, that was real good. Praise the Lord. It's all good. It's all good. Amen. All right. So it's on the screen for you. Let's go to number four. Number four. You still with me, church? Psalm 37 and verse 4. Psalm 37 and verse 4. Here's the next one. Delight yourself in the Lord. Circle the word delight. It means to fall madly in love with God. It means to get radical in your relationship with God. It means to put God first, to honor God on the first day of the week. It means to fall madly in love with Him. So notice, you got to delight yourself. Well, I'm just mad at God. Guess what? God's not going to show you His perfect, specific will if you're mad at Him today. If you're mad at your neighbor or your where you work, if you're angry and mad at God, God will not show you the specific of the right person to marry, the right career, or the right campus. He will not do that. He's not going to show you the next step until you delight yourself in the Lord. Get happy about your relationship, about being a Christian and a sold-out Christian. Am I helping somebody today? It's very practical. Very practical. Thanks be to God. We had a new family join our church. Last night was the third Saturday night. They come on Saturday nights. Last night was the third Saturday night. Brought their whole family. Live a mile away from the church. Now, this is to the glory of God, not to me. This is the glory of God. But they said to somebody on our staff, you know why we found our church home at Church on the Rock? Because your pastor makes the word of God so practical, you can't miss it. So you pray for me, because that's my calling, is to make it so practical, because you and I got to go live it tomorrow morning. I've got to live it just like you. I'm anointed to teach it, but I'm not anointed to live it. You know what I mean by that? I don't have a special anointing greater than yours to live it. I got to live it just like you. I have a greater anointing to teach it, but I don't have a greater anointing to live it. We all have the same Holy Spirit. We're led by Him. Can I have a witness in the house? All right? So delight yourself in the Lord. Are you happy about church? Are you happy about God? Are you happy about our ministry, the kingdom of God, what's happening? Are you happy about your salvation? Do you see it as a great salvation? Are you enjoying or enduring? Delight yourself in the Lord, and then what's going to happen? He's going to give you the desires. This is the next one. Are we on number four? Desires. God leads me for 50 years by the desires in my heart. Well, Pastor, what's wrong if you got the wrong desire? Well, let me show you how this works, okay? Notice he said, if you get radically in love with him, if you get radically in love with him and you are totally sold out to him, what happens is transformation, right? So what he does is he gets rid of our desires, and then he puts his desire in our heart and brings that to pass. He gets rid of our old desires to chew and go with girls that do and sniff and snuff and snort and all the above. And no longer do we want to do that. What happened? Transformation. How'd that happen? Through a relationship. How that happened? We delighted ourselves in the Lord, and then what he did was he pulled the desires out of us that weren't his will, weren't his character, replaced them with his desires in our heart, then he brings those desires to pass in our life. So we can trust him if we're radically in love with him and aligning our life with his word. You can trust your desires. People make dumb decisions based on a feeling or just a week or a month. If it's God, the desire is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You with me, church? Number one, how to know the specific will of God for your life. Praise him. In everything, give thanks. Get epic in your praise life. Number two is an attitude of joy. Learn the respondability of rejoicing where you're at today. Get happy. Go get a Twinkie. Go get a Coke. And throw a party. Amen. Last night, Kim and I went home, and I'd fasted all day. And I said, I did that. I fasted all day. I was fasting for camp, Mark, Nikki, the team, for your kids. And I got home last night. Pastor Kim got home, and she looked at me, and I looked at her and said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to order a pizza. And then you know what? She said, guess what? I said, well, I brought home a cinnamon roll from the Rock Express. Throw a party, everybody. And then number three, do what you know to do. And I never do that. Do what you know to do. If it's eat pizza, do what you know to do. And then number four, the desires of your heart. Now look at this verse. This is amazing. The team comes out. Proverbs 16, verse 3. This verse has helped me do more specifically in my life, marriage, and ministry than any other verse. This one right here. Look what it says. Roll your works upon the Lord. Give it to him wholly, and then what's he going to do? He will cause your thoughts. Now we're going from desires to thoughts. Your thoughts make up your desires, by the way. And your desires, your motivation. Steve asked me the other day in our mentoring time, Pastor, how do you stay motivated in the ministry? Well, motivated comes from the word motive, and your motives are connected to your desires. Yeah? If you have a desire to please God and delight in him before anything else, that's your motivation. Wow. So look what he says. He says, commit and trust him, hold it to him, and God will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to what? Your thoughts will become agreeable. So what you're thinking, not hit and miss, but what you're thinking continually. I couldn't get St. Louis out of my head, and I had a drawing to it in my heart. And it lasted for a year. I couldn't run from it. This is 35 years ago. Couldn't put it down, couldn't erase it. It got stronger and stronger and stronger and was on my mind all the time. So notice, to know the specific will of God, you know, he will lead you with your desires and your thoughts if you're renewing your thoughts in the Word of God every day in a Bible reading plan. If you're doing what half of the church in America is doing, coming once a month, you cannot trust your thoughts. You can't. No way. You're a carnal Christian, unrenewed mind. But I love you, whoever you are out there in the galaxy somewhere today. Praise God. All right? He'll cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will. And then what's going to happen? Your plans will succeed. Isn't that rich and clear? So number one, thankfulness. Number two, joy. Number three, do what you know to do. Number four, desires and renewing your mind. And number five, this is the last one. This is how I ask God even today about the future of our church. Right now, we have some great opportunities before us that you don't know about, nobody knows about. What am I doing? I'm incubating them. I'm doing what I'm telling you right now so I don't miss God, so I hear God. Here's the sixth way. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. In the same way, by our faith, the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems. I got problems. You got problems. All God's children got problems. Here a problem, there a problem. Old McDonald had a problem, right? So he said, help you with your daily problems and in your praying. For we don't even know what we should pray for or how we should pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit, he prays for us with such feelings that can't be expressed in words. Verse 27. And the Father who knows all the hearts, what the Spirit is saying as he pleads for us, look at this church, in harmony with what? What is this? Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Now, I know for some people it scares you, and so we're not here to scare you, but it's biblical. I got to teach it. I do it. It's called praying in tongues, an unknown tongue. The Bible says it's a tongue of an angel, or it's a tongue of a tribe that you don't know. And when you pray in the Spirit, you are praying the perfect will of God. You're praying the perfect will of God. Now, we don't do this out in public. I don't go to Deerberg's this afternoon at the lunch meat counter and start praying in tongues. Because if I do that, they're going to get Don and his crew. They're going to come get me, put me in a truck, and I'm going to have a hospital ministry. This is for my devotional time. I did it this morning for 1 hour behind my house, throwing a ball to my dog. I did it on the way into church for another half hour. I did it for another half hour in my office when I was taking my shower. You know, I don't do it publicly, but it's privately. It's for you and me when we don't know the will of God to pray the perfect will of God for our life. Ricky, right there with the guitar, wave at everybody, Ricky. Ricky, right there, when he came to work for us, he said, Pastor, I want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and I want a prayer language. I haven't had that experience yet. So I said, Ricky, I said, let me give you some books. So I gave Ricky some books on it. I said, Ricky, you read those books. You check it out. Search the scriptures. I don't want to do anything unscriptural. Search the scriptures. You check it out. I said, when you're ready for me to lay hands on you and pray, I said, you let me know. It was a few weeks, a couple months. Ricky said, Pastor, I'm ready. He came in. I laid hands on him in the name of Jesus. Jesus baptized him with the Holy Spirit. And fluently, easily, he began to pray another language, prayed in the Spirit. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit, got prayer language. Amen. So that is the sixth way. When you don't know the specifics and you don't know how to pray, pray in the Holy Spirit.